gospel story is one that for a lot of us in our modern sensibilities brings a little bit of embarrassment and maybe even a little bit of rage. Simon invites his friends over and finds his mother-in-law ill with a fever. Now, we don't take all that so much seriously these days because, you know, you pop a little antibiotic, it's all good. But in the time of Jesus, to have a fever could often mean that you would die. Because there were no antibiotics, there were simple treatments, and you were kind of just hoped to make your body heal of its own accord. So there she is. She is laid out on her bed, and Jesus, it says, takes up her hand, lifts her up by her hand, and she is healed. Immediately, Mark says, she gets up and begins to serve them. I think that's where... Yep, straight from her sick bed and into the kitchen. No time for recovery or a little bit of pampering. She runs right smack back into her daily duties, taking care of a bunch of people who, as my mother would have said, could very well make their own darn peanut butter sandwiches. Substitute the word darn with another word. Almost every commentary that I read this week talked about how embarrassing and kind of strange that scene is for those of us in today's society in the modern United States. It rankles a little bit at our modern sensibilities of gender roles and place, of profession and of possibility. After all, we hear every day that any child, anyone can grow up to be President of the United States or Apple computer, depending on your taste. So as I thought about this story, I thought this just doesn't fit for today. So I wonder how, for instance, Hollywood would recast this story. Because these days, of course, everyone has the possibility to be anything that they want to. At least that's the myth that we believe. And so in the Hollywood version of this story, Simon's mother-in-law, who is dying in her bed, encounters Jesus and is miraculously healed. And from that moment on, everything in her life is different. She would be magically transported from the drudgery of fixing lunch for Simon and his friends and cleaning sinks and brushing the donkey to the fast-paced world of Jerusalem, where she would meet Kevin Costner and found a baseball team on the outskirts of Jerusalem and be famous for the rest of her life. And as we would always want in a good Hollywood story, everyone would live happily ever after. Whew. No drudgery, no kind of unpleasant gender roles, just a story fit for A&E, or maybe even a movie. Maybe not. Maybe what we really need to do is apply the filter of the prosperity gospel. And in that story, this is how it works. Simon's mother is staying sick in her bed, and having heard about Jesus, she calls to him, and he heals her following a heartfelt confession and rises not only from her bed, but also from her station. Jesus' blessing multiplies blessing upon blessing as God rewards her faith, and she is transformed. Transformed from the ugly duckling serving peanut butter sandwiches to Simon's friends to a person of great spiritual prowess who is rewarded in her faith with a two-story condo in downtown Capernaum with three camels, a stable of donkeys, and a servant named Stella whose job it is now to make peanut butter sandwiches for Simon and his friends while the lady of the house gives heartfelt thanks for all that God has done. It's just beautiful. God rewards her for her faith, which is, of course, how it should all work, right? Well, I have one more version. In the churchly version, Simon's mother-in-law indeed gets up and serves Jesus, and then she becomes one of the first great women disciples, standing at the foot of the cross when Jesus dies and later becomes the first female pope. Don't look so surprised. There was one. We celebrated her last week. But none of that is the story that we hear. We hear, not Pope, Bishop, close enough. But that's the story we hear today. The story we hear today is Jesus' story. And I think it makes us a little bit uncomfortable because it means that Jesus takes her by her hand and she is healed. And then immediately in that breathless, wonderful voice of Mark, she gets up and begins to serve. That's the Jesus story. All three of my favorite commentators, Matt Skinner, Caroline Lewis, and David Lowe, all point out that the woman is healed and made right and brought immediately back from the brink, and she serves. She begins to serve. That wonderful word, diakonia, is what she does on that day. It just means to serve, and it has this meaning, sub-meaning, not only of food, but also to serve in a deeper way. It certainly means preparing food and serving it to Simon and his guests and Jesus. But it means also that she returns to the very vocation to which she was called. And be really careful not to demean her role as mother of a house. Her job is to bring hospitality. In the ancient world, her job would have been to give hospitality to strangers and guests, to bring comfort to those who are suffering, to feed the hungry, and to give rest to those who are weary. Does that sound familiar to you? It is exactly the sort of thing that Jesus will tell the real disciples to do throughout their ministry. Because she is, in fact, a real disciple. I think David Lowe and Carolyn Lewis, who both independently arrive at the same sort of idea, is that in being healed, she becomes authentically who she is and serves out her authentic humanity in the most wonderful and powerful way available to her. There is no great giant transformation in her life except for the transformation that comes to all of us who are healed to be who we are. She's not a CEO or a wealthy landowner or a great religious figure. She's a servant of the Lord, a disciple of the best sort, authentically and fully human. That seems a far more powerful story than any Hollywood writer or ELCA Department of Communication could possibly dream up. And sometimes in being healed and becoming who we authentically are, we find surprises. I've known Sarah since she was quite young, and Sarah never quite fit. Sarah was one of those people who flitted from one idea to another idea, from one career choice to another. She was cursed with one of those sharp, wonderful, quick, absorbing minds that are never satisfied. She was deeply religious. The parents, the daughter of two, not one, but two pastors. Her sister, her older sister, a scientist. At one of our things, Elizabeth brought her dissertation for her doctorate, her final thing that she needed to do, because we kept asking her, what are you doing in your study? I said, well, it's complicated. So she brought her paper. It didn't help. I have no idea what she does. But her sister, Sarah, never the shrinking violet, continued to work to figure out who she would be. And most of us thought because of her wonderful caring nature and her interest in religion and her interest in the church that she would follow her parents' footsteps and become a pastor. She did not. She's a nurse. She entered her work in college and in her postgraduate work. She decided to become a nurse. And she is a good one. Really wonderful. She went from a period of tremendous suffering and hardship and difficulty in many ways to finding out who she authentically was as a caregiver. But being Sarah, of course, that wasn't enough. Now she has entered the diaconal community. Not so that she can become a deaconess, but so that she can be a better nurse. Because she understands that the healing of the body cannot be complete without the spiritual healing as well. Sarah found in her healing and her being drawn up by the hand who she must be as an authentic human being. So I wonder, how is God calling us to healing that we might become authentically who we are? Over the years, I've spoken with so many people whose job, whose occupation is not their vocation, who in the work that they do are not able to express themselves fully for the human being that God has made them to be. And some of them are just miserable. It's not a question that we ask very often. So often we do the jobs that we do, or we enter the marriages that we enter, or we do the things that other people expect for us. The world is full of ideas about what you should do. But do we ever wonder who we really are? Not who we ought to be, but who we are? I think Simon's mother-in-law truly is diakonia. I think Sarah also understands clearly that God has called her to be a servant. What is the servanthood to which you are called as God's child? What is the diakonia to which we are being called as a Lutheran Church of Honolulu, as this community of faith, this body of Christ? What is the diakonia, the service to which our larger church and all Christians and all people are being called? That may be the fundamental question for us to get at in our lives. And then to be reached by the hands of Jesus and healed and then brought to our full humanity. In the end, there's nothing to be embarrassed about in this text. It is simply Jesus calling this mother-in-law of Simon and all of the disciples and all of us into a life of diakonia, of service, that we too can go out into the world as Jesus will the next day to live out our call. Servants all. Amen.